Brother Alan Fox, the pastor of Poplar Springs Baptist Church here in the county. That's my home church. And I appreciate them. They pray for me. They sent me out, ordained me. When I was 19 and a half years old, I thought I knew everything. Of course, they knew I didn't know nothing. But they sent me anyhow. And you know what? They prayed for me. They still do that. And I appreciate them. We have churches that bring in desserts, different churches that are in the county and surrounding. That's where you get your desserts at. Churches have baked and fixed and prepared so you could have something sweet. Of course, some of you need a little more of that than you've got. But my home church, I tell you, they help me. They love me, and I love them. I can go back to my home church. I got roots there. But I appreciate their pastor and the heart he has for camp meeting, and appreciate how God's using him. There at Poplar Springs Baptist Church. He's going to preach for us about 30 minutes. I love you, Brother Alan. You're a blessing. Amen.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. So good to be here. I love preaching and singing. I've been reading about Sam Jones, a great evangelist from Georgia. I like what his wife said one day in Atlanta, Georgia. President Theodore Roosevelt was speaking. He recognized Sam Jones in the audience that day and invited him to next time he came to Washington to stay with him at the White House. Nobody knew that Sam Jones would die the next day. The president also recognized Sam Jones' wife, and she said to the president, you're the second greatest man in this nation. And he said, well, who's the greatest? She said, my husband, of course. Amen for a wife like that. Amen. Amen. I heard the word smile yesterday. Three or four times, reminded me, I just read an article that says that only people can smile. God did not give animals the muscles in their face to smile. They can't. But the reason God put 50 muscles in your face to smile is so you would. Now, you can if you will. It's not impossible. God really intended for you to smile, to turn that frown upside down. And if you see somebody today without a smile, just give them one of yours. Sure. Amen. Amen? That's right. That's right. I'll be brief this morning. 1 Kings 13 is where we'll find our text, please. 1 Kings 13, verse 18. I've had this message on my heart, and I hope it'll be a help to somebody. I do love Brother Steve and Brother Rule and Brother Jamie, and they're my dear friends, and I just like to be around them, and I love God's people. I'm glad I'm a part of the church. Amen. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be a part of the church. That's my crowd. Amen. Here's a warning in 1 Kings 13, 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet. Also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. It came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. I'd like to speak to you from my heart for just a few moments from this passage on the subject, you'll get in trouble listening to a backslid preacher. You'll get in trouble listening to a backslid preacher. There are two main characters in this passage. There's the man of God who disobeys, and there's the old prophet who lies to him. In studying this and thinking about it, it's very easy for me to call this man of God who disobeys a young man. The Bible doesn't really say that. But if you already know this passage, and many of you do, you know that this man of God does wonderfully as the chapter opens up. God sends him there to Bethel to rebuke King Jeroboam. And there's a prophecy there that God's going to raise up Josiah later on, and he'll offer the priest of the high places upon this altar. And that's a prophecy that takes place sometime later. This man of God, there in front of doubtless hundreds of thousands of people, is very bold. And he also performs miracles here. The king gets mad at him for saying that, how dare you say anything against my altar? And the king reaches forth his hand, the Bible tells us, and the king's hand dries up, and the altar's rent, another miracle, and the ashes poured out. And another miracle, the king says, well, you must be a man of God, and my hands dried up, pray for me. And this man of God prays, and another miracle, and the king's hand is restored. It was a great day for this man of God. It was his finest hour. There he is, and very boldly rebuking sin and uttering prophecy and performing miracles in the sight of all the people. And no wonder the king says to him, well, you're the real deal. I got a reward for you. Come home with me to the palace, and we'll feed you the best meal you ever had. But he refuses that temptation. He rejects that offer of money. He says, well, if you'd give me half the kingdom, I wouldn't go home with you. Because God told me when my work was done to go home and to go back home a different way and to eat nothing and to drink nothing. Well, he refuses that first temptation, obeys his orders, goes back home a different way. But I'm sorry to tell you that when it comes to the second temptation, he yields to it. These boys come home and tell their daddy about this man of God, and he says, which way went he? And they saddle the ass for the old prophet, and he finds this man of God arresting under an oak tree, sitting under an oak tree, verse 14. Billy Kelly had a famous sermon, sitting under the oak tree. And the old prophet says, come to my house. My boys told me what you did up at the Capitol today, and I'd like to talk to you. And he says, oh no, I can't do it. I'm under strict orders. I got to go home. I can't eat and drink, God told me. And then the old prophet lies to him. Says, an angel told me to bring you back home with me. He believes that old prophet's lie. He goes home with him, eats a meal. And then God rebukes that man of God and says, you know you shouldn't have done that. You know what I told you. You're not going to be buried in the carcass of your fathers. And then read on. And on the way home, this man of God's killed by a lion, buried right there in the grave of the old prophet. There's so many lessons here. One thing I see, great temptation came immediately upon the heels of a great victory, didn't it? I mean, this fellow had his best day and worst day all on the same day. You know, we have a great victory and we kind of relax a little bit. That's when you're the most vulnerable then. Oh, you had a great day on Sunday and God blessed you and He used you. You better watch out for Monday. I mean, Elijah called down fire and a few verses later he's praying to die under the juniper tree. When you have a great victory, you better stay humble. Great temptation came immediately after a great victory. It was so unexpected. It was just so inviting to go home and with this old prophet. But it was wrong. It was disobedience. It was disobedience. You see, you can write this down in the blackest ink this morning. God means what He says. And this, you say, this is awful severe here. A sin unto death, a sin unto, folks, this is rank disobedience and presumption, and sin is still serious whether we think it is or not. Well, it was going to be bad enough if the word got out. I mean, this preacher had said in the audience of the king and maybe the audience of thousands, I can't go home with you. I can't eat or drink. But then to hear that he did eat and drink with that old prophet in the same town of Bethlehem, it's confusing. When we disobey God, folks, it gives us a bad name. It's confusing to the world. Folks, we got to remember who we represent and be men and women of our word and do what we say. Well, it was no time for levity. It was no time to sit around and eat. There's time for that later, but this was a time for soul searching and repenting. And there's plenty of time for that, for the eating later. Folks, we still need the upper room more than the supper room. Amen. Now, we need them both, but we need the upper room more. This man of God was lied to, but you know what? He forgot that God does not reveal to others His will for you. He reveals His will for you to you. And you better be very careful about them angels telling something. Yeah, probably the wrong kind of angel. There probably wasn't no angel at all, it was just a big lie. Got Joseph Smith in a lot of trouble, didn't it? Muhammad said an angel appeared to him, said he thought it was a demon. Somebody told him it wasn't a demon, so he wrote all that down in the Quran. But it was a demon after all. I ain't listening to no angel. I got a book. I have the indwelling Holy Ghost. I don't even have to ask you. God's will for me. And you don't have to ask me for God's will for you. And if you ask me, I'll tell you. I don't know. That's not my business. It just may cost you your life listening to a backslid preacher. You better get your orders from headquarters and stay with it. I've got a lot of bad advice from preachers. Don't get me wrong. Nobody loves preachers more than I do. Nobody listens to more preaching than I do. I love it. Amen. But if you do what some of them say, it's going to contradict what some of the other ones say. Oh, I've been told by preachers, don't pay your tithes. I've been told by preachers, just don't tell anybody to use that King James Bible. I've been told, all Baptist preachers, I wouldn't listen to nobody else for nothing. You can swallow and breathe. Amen. It does say Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting out there. Amen. Oh, I've been told just to go ecumenical, you know, and throw doctrine out the door and and just let anything go. And I was even told recently by a preacher, just throw away the hymn book. Let's get away from them old hymns. I'm not listening to backslid preachers. Amen. This man of God, the old prophet found him sitting under the oak tree. He should have been long gone. You get in trouble sitting under the oak tree when God tells you to go home. When you are in the wrong, when you're in the wrong place, your right place is empty. Always try to be in the right place. It was the lesser temptation that got him. The king offered him half the kingdom as a big temptation, but he said no. But just him and that old prophet, he yielded. Folks, it's not the what we call the bigger temptations that's going to get us. We're not going to leave here today and cuss and rob banks and kill people. But it's jealousy. It's lust. It's pride. That's what's killing us. Sins of the spirit, things we can hide. But a little poison will kill you too. And a little leak can sink the ship. And we're not killing people with guns. We're just killing them with our tongue. You better watch out for lesser temptations. And a little disobedience and a little fire. And what could have been. And this man of God, whose ministry is over and he's dead, what he could have been, but it never happened. And there is a sin unto death. Oh, yes, there is a sin unto death. I knew of a preacher, he got discouraged, went out one night, got drunk, said, God's going to kill me tomorrow, and God did. No wonder that old prophet, when he buried this fellow, said, alas, my brother. Alas, my brother. You say, why didn't God kill the old prophet, lying prophet? Well, because he's not the one that made the prophecies. He's not the one that did the miracles. Don't you know God expects more out of some than he does others? Those people in your church been saved for 6 months, God don't expect as much out of them as he does you been saved for 40 years. That wouldn't be fair. Our responsibility depends upon the opportunities we have, the truth we know, the knowledge, the light that we have. And my soul, look at us today. Many of us heard preaching all of our life. We know it. We know it inside out and upside down. God's going to give a require more out of us than anybody who's ever lived. God's going to require more out of America than any other nation. We got more churches, more preachers, more Christians than anybody else in the whole world. And I know that. I've been a foreign missionary. The more God gives you, the more he expects. Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much will be required. A stricter accounting. Let me just say a thing or two and I'll be done. You say that was just one act of disobedience on his part. Folks, that's all. That's all it takes. You can lose your testimony with somebody. Just lose your temper one time. Yeah. One act of disobedience cost Adam paradise. One act of disobedience cost Moses the promised land. Didn't it? One act of disobedience and Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. One time Noah got drunk and it marred his name forever. Folks, you can't afford one step in the wrong direction. You better quit playing with fire. You're gonna get burnt. One act. Did you know that people go to hell for unbelief? For you just tell Jesus, no, I don't want you. I will not have you. You'll go to hell forever for that. Amen. He that believeth not shall be damned, the Bible says. It doesn't take sinning for months and years and hundreds and thousands. Folks, we better fear sin, fear compromise, stay on our knees, stay right with God, listen to God. Don't you know who the devil's after? It's those who are in leadership, husbands and daddies. Folks, those that stand behind the pulpit, if you fall, others will fall as well. One act. I don't know if this man of God had a family. I hope he didn't. I hope nobody had to go home and say to his wife, "Your husband did great today before the king, but he disobeyed and the lion killed him and he's buried." I hope there was no wife and kids. I don't know. But if you ain't got enough sense to do right for your own self, sir, do it for the sake of your family. Amen. And those little boys and girls in your church that love you and call you preacher and draw for you and respect you, don't you let them down. Don't you be a bad example. Don't you let him down. Most of all, and let finish well. Don't ever change. If you change, you'll have to apologize. You'll have to either say, "I was right all my life, and now I'm changing, I'm going wrong, and I'm apologizing." You'll have to say, "I've been wrong all my life, and I apologize for that, and now I'm finally turning right." If you ever change, you must apologize. Amen, that's right. This young man, I'm done. He underestimated his own weakness, didn't he? You're capable of anything in the whole world apart from blaspheming the Holy Ghost, sir. If you're saved, don't you trust your stinking flesh. You ain't better than nobody. If you think you are, you're a half a mile in the wrong direction. Think you're better than David, Samson, Solomon, Peter, John Mark, people in the Bible that messed up? God help us. We need grace. We need humility. We need brokenness. I'd like to finish well, wouldn't you? I'd like to finish well. He let somebody get between him and the will of God, didn't he? And it was his fatal blunder. Stay with your orders and prevent a tragedy. That's the burden of my heart. Thank you.
God, I love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
What a challenge this morning. Responsibility.